Good morning, Vietnam.
I was like, wait, what? But then I remembered Toronto, Vietnam.
Exactly. I'd like to say that was spontaneous, but as I was showering, I was like, that's it. That's how I'm going to start the podcast. Because it's a great time in Vietnam. There may be some intermittent fucking coughing throughout this because Big Balls Brave Me got up early and did a workout and all of that crack with asthma and smoker's lungs. So all of that is now just chilling right about here in my throat waiting for me to cough it up.
It's trying to fucking escape.
Yeah. So I apologise in advance if I do start coughing or this happens or the voice starts going, I hate that.
Yeah, because you're just like, you feel like such a phlegmy cow when you do it. You're like, why do I sound so sick?
And now it's like illegal to cough. So
on it, it's not actually so bad that you still can't. Yeah. Like, if you're outside or anything, or if you're in somewhere and you cough, everybody turns to you like they're a fucking owl, like their head nearly comes off their shoulders. They turn around to look at you to see, like, was that just
exactly
a cough?
And like at the start that made sense, but I'm confused by it now. But even I'm the same, so I'm confused by my own damn self. But like, nobody cares about COVID anymore. Nobody fucking cares. We're all hoping we get it at this point, so yeah, it's over with. But like, even yesterday I was serving customers. And the dirtiest cough, and I mean the dirtiest cough, deafened me on the headset. I went immediately and disinfected my hands. Immediately.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not trusting that cough. My immune system is weak enough, regardless of what that cough means, I'm not touching it. Who'd have thought? We're all afraid of coughs and sneezes now. What a society we've become. But we've absolutely no problem roofieing people on a night out there that the fucking nightclubs are back open.
What the fuck is actually going
what
on?
What is happening? What is happening?
Like, it's so bad. I seen this thing on Twitter. This mother on Twitter put up a post. Her young one over in the UK, she was out. She had only just like turned 18 there during the summer. So now that the nightclubs are back open and everything, her first experience in a nightclub was meant to be a great fun time to remember, like, with all her friends. Some lad injected her with something. She is now in a coma and they still have to wait a couple of months because they don't think she's going to come out of it like anytime soon to see if there's going to be any permanent damage made to this poor girl's life because they didn't know what she had been injected with. So she's still in bits in the hospital.
Jesus fucking
Christ.
Like,
I don't understand. Like, I know it's like a power thing, but like, what the fuck do you get out of that?
Yeah. This is what I was saying, like, I'd nearly understand why, okay, no, this is going to sound really bad, because it's not like it's okay for them to be doing it, but after mad lads, not all lads, just lads that, you know, shouldn't be allowed out in public, have been locked up for 2 years without any chance of getting any sort of snatch, that they're just going out, dropping something into a girl's drink and taking it.
Yeah.
Again, not saying it's okay, but I can understand the correlation with just drugging someone for the sake of it to like
just to see what happens. Wild.
Yeah. Like you literally are trying to kill someone.
Yeah, but honestly, and for what?
For what?
Because that could have gone anyway. Do you know, they might have been like a little bit affected or like that in hospital or dead.
Yeah.
But like, for the sakes of like security and stuff, the other way, like if we were ever in nightclubs and if we were anyway pissed or falling around the place, that's it, you get fucked out.
Yeah.
Just thrown out straight away. But like, that's so dangerous. Like if a young one, like it has happened to a young one, security looks at her like, something's not right with her. Do you know?
Yeah.
She's too drunk.
Yeah.
Throw her out. Like I don't feel like, regardless if you were a boy or a girl, to be like throwing people that are inebriated onto the fucking streets where anything could happen to them. Whether it be accidental or malicious.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Like
even that night, I don't know if you remember, we were on a school night out, or just after school. I think it was actually just after we finished school. It was like the celebration of we're fucking done. And myself and you were out. You made me take that one last shot. And I told you, Lizzie, if I take this shot, I am going to throw up. And you were like, no, you'll be fine. You're grand. I took the shot, instantly vomited. Right? And then I went outside before you. We were leaving. I think you had to go back and get like a bag or a coat or something, or go collect one of the girls. Something. You didn't come straight out with me. And I was outside. I was obviously pissed. I was about to throw up again. And one of the young fellas that we went to school with, cannot remember who because I was too drunk, came up to me, put his arm around me and was like, oh no, you're going to get sick. Come on, we'll go down this alley.
I do remember that. I remember exactly who it was. I'll tell you the name after it. But I remember coming out then at that point and I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck you do?
Because I was there, I was like, no, I'm fine. And he was still so insistent on bringing me down this fucking alley. So Like, you know, that was in one case, I was fine. I was with all of my friends, like, I wasn't that drunk. But that's how quick it happens. So exactly what you're saying, yeah. If you're just turning people out onto the street, men or women, doesn't matter.
No.
God knows who's around the corner just waiting to take advantage of that situation.
Yeah.
Just waiting. Like,
it's disgusting.
It's fucking horrendous. The amount of people I know now that would have been proper, like, barflies growing up, and like, yeah. Up until COVID, they will not go out anymore. Because they're terrified.
No. And like, I know everyone's always saying, like, look, watch your drink when you go out, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Look, it's a thing that's always been said and probably be continued to be said. Mm-hmm. But at least you can try and keep an eye on your drink, even though you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
How can you stop some cunt coming up to you?
With a fucking hypodermic needle and just jabbing it into your arm. Yeah. It's happened before you even know it's about it.
Yeah.
Fuck, oh man, it is terrifying. Can we just call out to the three people that listen to us to fucking stop? Tell your friends, pass it on, cause the chain. They don't need to listen to the podcast. Just fucking stop. It's
like, honestly, what's going on? Do you remember, Shereven, Cuiva had told us that a nightclub up where she's from had to get shut down one of the nights because I think did somebody try to like either drug, was it through a drink or did somebody actually like stab this young one with a needle and drugged her? Do you remember she put it in our chat?
And oh, fuck yes.
They had.
Yes.
Some fella had tried to get her into a van.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the police were swarming the place and everything.
Like, and the balls to do it in plain sight.
Plain sight.
I know it's not daytime, but, like, plain sight nonetheless. There is hundreds of people around.
Yeah. Cameras. Everywhere.
And they're just like, oh, well.
And during, like, the first couple of nights out as well, like, don't you know the cops are going to be crawling the roads anyway? Because they're like, okay, people are going to be rowdy. Like, fights would probably break out more than anything. But I was like, what?
Like,
are you dumb? Or do you just like the thrill of it? I don't understand.
Yeah. I really thought that would be the extent of it. It's just, there'd be a rise in COVID numbers because people be fucking. And most people would end up kicking the heads off each other because we've had no outlet for our tensions for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I figured that would happen. But the drugging is just, I can't wrap my head around it.
So disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It's insane.
I wonder, is that happening everywhere? Because I've only heard of it happening so far
in like Ireland.
Ireland and the UK.
In the UK, yeah. I don't know, to be honest, because I don't. I suppose it would depend on like countries that have a bit, really big bar scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, in our case, pub. We don't have bars, we have pubs.
Pubs
and nightclubs. But yeah.
Unless you're pretentious and then it's a bar.
Exactly. If you're bougie. If you're paying fucking 15 quid a cocktail in Dublin, you're in a bar. If you're paying 3 quid a pint, you're in a pub.
5.50 for a double vodka, call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. Couple of shots of Sea Dog, knock you on your arse, done.
Oh, vile.
But yeah, so everyone, just be fucking careful out there, man. We've had it rough enough for the last few years. Can we just stop fucking with each other? Can we stop?
Honestly.
The misery is just never ending.
It's insane.
Never ending.
Honestly. Like, we've been in pure misery the last, like, 2 years. Stop trying to fucking ruin the small bit of joy that we're going to be allowed to have from going on a night out.
Just go and get your dance on, a few drinks. Like, we can't just have that.
I'm already worried about if I'm going to fall over in my heels, if I'm going to, like, accidentally expose either, like, a tit or an arse by falling over. If my makeup is creasing or cracking. You know what I mean?
These are normal night out worries.
Like, I already have enough to be worrying about on a night out. Do not want to be worrying about if I'm going to get fucking stabbed with a hypodermic needle.
And never wake up again. It's...
Yeah, oh, honestly. Like, no, I was going to say something that would have been so out of pocket, so I'm just not going
to
say it.
Well, no, now we need to hear it. If it's really bad, I'll cut it. Right, okay. If it's really bad, I'll cut it.
Okay, so I was going to say, like, well, if we did... Don't know, you were saying like, oh, and not wake up. I was going to say, well, at least, like, if we did, at least our ghost outfit would be nice.
I mean, listen, it's not that out of pocket. I mean? You have to look for the fucking positives in all of this. This is why we make jokes during terrible, terrible murder stories.
This is very true. Very true. Like, my ghost walking around in a bitchy pair of heels with a little bitchy handbag.
Honestly.
Living my best life.
I have no idea what I would be wearing because I haven't gotten a night out in approximately 4 years. But I bet it would look bougie. If nothing else, face would be beat for the gods. I know that much.
That's all you need. Do you know what I mean? Because if somebody then was to see like an apparition, they weren't say, don't like you were gaunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that you were pale, sickly looking. You're like, actually no, she had a cracking outfit on and decent makeup.
Yep.
Fair play to her.
Eyelashes touching the ceiling. It's all I want for my ghost.
Hair to the gods.
But speaking of terrible people who ruin the fun for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. And have sent people to God themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on?
I think we shall. We should travel back in the past of awful times and not focus on the current awful bullshit that we're going through. So, let's dive right in.
Good evening. It's a Sunday in October. 22nd, 23rd, something like that. Very close to my 38th birthday. And I'm starting this tape without script or without any real organization of what I want to say. But I do feel I need to explain. What I want is an off-the-shelf sex partner. I want to be able to use a woman whenever and however I want. And when I'm tired or bored or not interested, I simply want to put her away, lock her up in a little room, get her out of my sight, out of my life. Slave, there's no way around it. Primarily a sexual slave, but nonetheless a physical slave as well. And I believe that I can, if I can construct a holding cell, a place where I can put such a woman, a facility that is so stark and so empty, so cold, so quiet, so totally removed from the world, that I can quickly condition a young woman to cooperate with me fully.
So yeah, that's Leonard. I thought it'd be beneficial. Because we can talk about, you know, all of his wishes and stuff for his little rape bunker. But it's best mm-hmm. that you hear it from the incel himself. So I just thought I'd pop that little segment in here before we get started. Probably should have done it last episode, but I figured this episode is really about the rape bunker because it wasn't built yet last episode.
Yeah.
So
it had only kind of just started before he had taken Maurice and Cheryl.
Yes. And Randy Jackson.
Is Randy Jackson not like that famous lad? That was on like American Idol as a judge or something.
Stop
like
it.
That.
Is his name actually Randy Jackson?
Probably I'm not. And I'm now. Just like making like a weird like cross connect.
Randy Jackson. Fucking yes it is.
I'm so smart. What's wrong with me?
It absolutely is. Yeah, Randy Jackson, who was ironically murdered for his fucking social welfare benefits. Considering Leonard doesn't like anyone who's on social welfare. But he's well able to fucking steal an identity to get it himself, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Bastard. Yeah, so that's where we left off after those three had been killed and the speculation of Cheryl. Yeah, Cheryl.
Well, all three of them to be.
Oh no, but of the speculation of Cheryl being the first M lady or the prototype.
Oh yes.
For an M lady. Yes, so yeah. That's where we were. Now, we used a book because it's honestly, it's quite actually hard to find concise information about
so
these
hard.
Two and get a solid timeline. So I think we mentioned it last time. The book we used was Die For Me by Don Lasseter. Fair play to you, Donny boy, because you found every single bit of information available in the world about Charles and Leonard. But it doesn't help with the timeline because nobody knows their
it's
timeline.
It's not concise.
Yeah. So
at all.
If I go back and forth a bit during this fucking episode, that's why. It's because I don't have an exact timeline of when things happened in between. It's just somewhere during all of this. So...
Yeah.
There's all my disclaimers for the episode. I think you already mentioned this on your episode, that they both got arrested for having illegal weapons on the ranch. And Charles went to prison for that, but Leonard didn't.
Yeah.
So from what I can find, Leonard in fact escaped. He should have gone and done some time for it, but he got out of the holding cell and ran.
Did he not make bail? That's what I said when I read it.
Did he make bail? Yeah, but... Oh, then
yeah,
he escaped bail.
He posted bail.
Ah, that's why. Because I read that he made bail and then I read that he escaped. So it makes... So then he just ran after making bail. Because you know the way you're held on bail?
Yeah.
You can't, like, go.
Yeah. Mm. The way that, like, yeah, because you have to be on probation then for, like, okay, well, you can't, like, that own a firearm for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Not 6 months, but, like,
which
so often you have to behave.
What good is that to a fucking survivalist? Gotta stockpile them guns. So,
lunatic.
He went on the run, pretty much. And Cricket wasn't about that on the run life, so she divorced him. And I don't think he put up much of a fight about Cricket divorcing him.
I don't even think he really gave a shit about her, to be honest. Like, he just saw her or something to shag.
Well,
not even being bad.
I feel very much the same. But his journal that we will get to later.
Oh my god, it's just.
That says something different. I love his journal.
An atrocity. Yeah.
I would actually give anything to read that year and a half worth of a journal. Like, I can only imagine the emo muses that 14-year-old me could never have compared to. But yeah, so as Lizzie had said already previously, the cabin that they were living in, which I will now refer to as Rape Ranch, from here on out, that was owned by Cricket.
I feel like it needs a strong the before rape.
The rape branch.
As if it's like a branch.
Ooh, yes, okay. Like they're gonna spread out and have like rape branches in Switzerland and
right, try to say that very fast. The rape branch.
The rape branch branch. I think we found our episode title.
Coming to an area near you.
The rape branch branch. What did Leonard need to do next for a man on the run? Only acquire a new identity. And who better than fucking Donald the Tank Engine?
Oh, poor Don.
Poor fucking Donald. Okay, so we know that Leonard had an awful issue with Donald his whole life for stealing his spotlight as the middle child and getting a slap of a train to the head and thus needing special care.
Yeah.
And even though Leonard and Donald didn't actually really look all that much alike, he still figured he could pass off for him fairly well. And he had been wanting to kill him for years, so why not? Who better to steal an identity from?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he really, like, you know, he's been fantasizing about killing his brother for years. He doesn't seem to have given him any sort of a, like, lucrative death.
Yeah, just wasn't creative with it in the slightest.
No. He could have done something, like, miraculous. Like, laid him down the fucking train tracks, make it poetic, something. But no. Apparently he just shot him in the head. That was it.
I feel like he just got to a point where he's like, do you know what? I actually cannot be arsed with you anymore.
Yeah.
Quick, easy. Done. My problem's been sorted.
Very much so. It was a convenience kill. Like, he got no thrill out of it. It was just, you need to die so I can have your identity. Bum, bum, bang. Done.
Yeah.
No flair at all, which I feel like Donald deserved after such a fucking terrible life. He at least deserved a flair in his death. Is that weird? No.
But then, do you know what it's reminding me of? Which is, yeah, again, I feel like it's out of pocket, so I don't know if, like, it's... Right, do you remember Of Mice and Men? When Lenny gets shot in the back of the head.
Oh, but that's so sad, and he doesn't want to shoot Lenny. He just has to. Very much not the same
I know.
Thing.
I'm just thinking about, like, see, I can't say it because... If you've read Of Mice and Men, you know why, like, Lenny and Donald are similar. One, look.
I'm not same saying level of brain we capacity.
We knew.
Yeah.
And about them being, suspectedly shot in the head.
Look. Yeah. Wasn't deserved, is what we're saying. Wasn't his fault that he got a fucking slap of a train to the head and therefore had mental issues for the rest of his life because of it. In no way his own fault. Yeah. Didn't deserve to be shot in the back of the head like a fucking rabid dog. But alas, he was. Now, I'm counting this as a murder because I feel like you're going to agree with me. This deserved to be mentioned because I'm incensed by it. I just think, like, the audacity of this. But this whole moment is insane that happened. So he's up there. He's living on Rape Ranch. And the layout of Rape Ranch is there is neighbours, but the houses are angled in such a way that you can't see onto the property of the Rape Ranch.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, heavily covered by trees as well.
Yeah, so he's all the privacy he wants, but he does in fact have neighbours. And during this time, Leonard got a new German shepherd called Wuban.
What now?
A Wuban. I don't know.
Okay, so a Wuban or Wuban?
Just Wuban. His dog's name was Wuban.
Wuban. It's like he has a speech impediment and can't say Ruben.
Did Charles name? I'm so sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have made that joke. I'm sorry. But it's not my fault, okay? Charles is literally an Asian stereotype of his own. He literally is the stereotype that people think of.
He honestly is.
Like, it is not my fault. It's Charles's fault. Oh, God. I'm sorry. That was a very, like, that was off colour.
Oh, it's funny, though.
I couldn't resist.
And he's an awful man, so he deserves it.
He was an awful man. He was a fucking rapist and murderer and a weirdo. But alas. So, Wuban is now living on the ranch. And I'm never going to say the name again or we won't be able to move on.
I'm actually wheezing.
The German Shepherd ended up bumping uglies. Or she ended up bumping. I assume it was a girl. I assume it was a female German Shepherd. I'm not actually sure. But because of what happened, I assume she was female.
Yeah.
Bumped uglies with the neighbour's dog. And Leonard took awful offence to this. Like, how dare your dog fuck my dog? That's not okay. And so...
Ew, why, Leonard, why did you want to, you fucking sick cunt?
Probably.
Like, why do you care?
Probably.
It's a dog.
Like...
It's a dog.
They be fucking, you've now got puppies, give them to someone for Christmas. It's not an issue, like...
As if that's not their fucking animal instinct to do.
Exactly. Or get your dog neutered, how about that one? Anyway, own fault is my point. But yeah, so he took such offence to the fact that their dog's fucked that he shot and killed the neighbour's dog.
Out of all times to be excessive, he chose not to do it when he murdered his brother who he hated for years, but took revenge by shooting a dog. Like, that's excessive.
Isn't it, though? Like, you of all people are going to condemn a creature for trying to get a stick wet. Really, now?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Are you seeing the hypocrisy?
But you haven't been a sex pest since you were a child.
Seems a bit much.
Anyway.
You would assume, and rightfully so, that the neighbours were very pissed off that Leonard had killed their fucking dog. And they were, and they went over to his house and they were like, what the fuck, bro, you killed our dog. But somehow, this chubby little balding cunt managed to charm the pants off of the neighbours.
This aggravates me so much. Like, how can someone that's so outwardly, I don't know.
Repulsive?
Yes.
Yeah, and not even just from the way he looks, just in general.
Yeah, like, him having a great time there, showing, like, his freaky Polaroids to strangers.
Ah, but Lizzie, that is how he charmed said neighbours, by showing them his homemade amateur porn. And they were like, you know what, this Lenny guy is pretty cool. Yeah, he killed our dog, but he showed us some vagina.
Child ones, though.
I think this might have been cricket porn.
Uh-oh.
I think it might, because I don't think he ever recorded anything with children.
Well, not children, but the young ones, as in, like, the ones that were, like, 15, yeah. 16 and shit like that. He True. Had those and he would show those to people, so I'm like...
Were they the porn videos or just the Polaroids?
Polaroids.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. I think the actual porn itself usually came from cricket, and cricket would play the role of, like, the M-ladies that he took, or suspected M-ladies, because a lot of them that were taken, they can't confirm, like... they ever did become an M-lady or were just straight out murdered.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that leads to, like, suspect cricket involvement.
Yeah.
Is that she would later on, after these women have disappeared, would play them in porn and, like, presumably act out what had happened to them.
Yeah.
So, is you innocent, cricket? I think no. I'm thinking very much no.
Don't think so.
Very much fucking no. But yeah, and apparently... I mean, look, I'm not a fan of porn myself. Don't use it. Don't really watch it. Have seen some, though. And apparently the kind of porn that Leonard would shoot was, like, very close-up vagina shots.
Of course it was.
So you're just going right in there on the coochie. So yeah, I can't imagine it was in any way actually attractive porn. Because, like,
no.
I can't speak for all men. But I've heard a lot of them being like, I don't like that. Like, you want to see the whole thing. You want to see the bad acting, the fake orgasms, the whole shebang. You know?
Not just, like, nearly like a fucking... diagram of a hooch.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's all you're seeing, like, sure.
Exactly. You may as well just go to a doctor's office, look.
Yeah, go visit the gynae.
So that kind of porn is what won the neighbours back around after he murdered their fucking dog. Again, I don't really have a lot of details because they're not confirmed kills, but there is, like, some sort of connection that makes it seem that there was a lot of people that he murdered during this time. So while... Charles was still in prison. He was just going around kind of killing people. He would take their identities for later. He was still using Donald's at the time. He'd take their identities for later, but he would also sign checks in their name to himself, but not himself. He'd sign it to one of his aliases.
Oh my God.
So he was like, here's some money, Leonard. Oh, thank you, Leonard. This is such a good gift from you. You didn't have to do this.
Such an embarrassing fail.
Like... Where do you get the idea to write yourself a cheque from somebody's name that you've now stolen to another name of somebody that you've stolen or either made up? Where do you get these
whimsical
ideas?
Literally, I guarantee he's the type of person that he called this, like, his eureka moment. Like, I can see the light bulb going off in his head.
Oh, definitely.
And feeling proud as punch and feeling so sure in himself that this is a good idea.
Fucking dumpy H.H. Holmes.
I can pull this off no better. Stupid bastard.
Honestly. Annoys me. Yeah, so he was running those scams. And during this time, here we go, is when Lonely Leonard started his journal. It became even fucking cooler. And he would write things such as, why do I love her so? I wish I could stop. About cricket.
Ew.
And he would say just how much America can handle a real free man with cyanide in his pockets.
Oh my God, that actually... Shut up, like, you are not some downtrodden hero. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually get over yourself. Like, you're actually not even that cool.
No.
You're not cool at all.
One might argue you're a massive loser.
Oh my God. Or he's like some fucking rogue badass. You're a pervert with a fucking shit shed.
Yeah.
Calm down.
America will never be free until everyone has cyanide in their pockets, Lizzie. Accept it. Oh, fucking gimp. Okay, for whatever reason, in March 1983, Leonard decided that he needed to get rid of Donald's identity. Wasn't cutting it anymore. I don't know if he just didn't keep these identities for too long so that people didn't catch on to it, or he got bored. I don't know. Yeah. For whatever reason.
What character can I play now type thing.
Exactly. It's like, I'm done. It's like me dyeing my hair every 3 months, except he just murders and takes a new identity. So I feel less bad about killing my hair.
Yeah. Killing your hair?
Killing my hair.
Oh my God, I thought... Right, okay. I'm so dumb. I literally, like, the gall of me calling anybody else stupid, because when you said that, I was like, wait, did you just confuse the word, like, dying and then killing? Because we've talked about him killing. It's like, how are you killing your hair? Like, you're dying your hair. But then I like, oh, no, wait, you're killing your hair because you're dying your hair so much.
Exactly.
We move. We move.
It's both. Yeah, again, I'm killing it by dying it. It's the way to be. Yes, okay, so... He decided to get a new identity, and he thought the best person to take his new identity from would be his actual only best friend. There has been one person who has tolerated Leonard for most of his life, and that was Fat Charles Gunner. And yeah, so Fat Charles and Leonard were best men for each other at each of their weddings. Like when Leonard married Cricket, Fat Charles was there, and when Fat Charles married his wife, Leonard was there as his best man. Like, they were literally best friends. And he was just like...
Like, you have one person.
One. And you're going to kill him and steal his identity.
Yeah, you met another Charles, but was this one really an upgrade?
Exactly.
If anything, I would be bold to say it was a downgrade.
Just not interchangeable.
Especially when this tit is the reason why you got caught in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, why? Why are you suddenly changing up on your man Charles? The OG Charles.
I'm just so, like... It annoyed my whole life when I, found out that he killed Fat Charles. I'm like, why? I know why, but why? You could have killed anyone and taken their... You did kill multiple people already and take their identity. Why did you need a new one?
Including your brother, but this one feels slightly more disrespectful because he has never liked his brother.
Exactly. Donald was always going to die. That was always going to be the way. He was always going to kill Donald. But he killed Fat Charles on a whim. On a fucking whim. And because Leonard's so fucking clever, he called... The plan to kill Fat Charles, Operation Fish, because Charles was very aware of the fact that he was a big man, right? So he's 5'8", so not that tall as men go, and 400 pounds, which is 181 kilos or 28 and a half stone.
Well, he's a big boy.
He was a big boy.
I can understand why they now called him
Fat Charles. Yeah, you don't get fat as a nickname if you're just like chunky. No, you have to be fat. To get fat as a nickname.
See, even in my head, I was like, the other way people do, like, the opposite. So he was either going to be huge or thin as a rake.
Oh, like in Looking for Alaska when Scrawny Boy was called Pudge.
Yeah.
Always loved that. Thought that was so cute. Yeah, no. It was very much on the nose. Fat Charles was fat.
Very fucking rude then, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? So he called it Operation Fish because he was being clever. Because he's like... Charles refers to himself as a whale all the time, so I'll call it Operation Fish, because then people won't make the connection between Charles and Operation Fish, because whales aren't even fish.
They're mammals. He makes me sick.
Get fucked, Leonard.
You embarrassing bastard.
Even to your own fucking murder plans, you're a condescending little cunt. Like,
I just got shivers, but I think it's because I'm aggravated already.
You should be, because I was at this point, very much so. So... Fat Charles was described as, obviously, overweight. Now, get ready to hear a whole bunch of contradictions in one sentence. Overweight, good-natured, oafish, and ne'er-do-well who beat his kids. So he's good-natured, child-baiter.
Like, what?
I don't know.
Who came up with this description of this man?
His neighbours. His friends and neighbours referred to him as a good-natured, oafish, ne'er-do-well who beat his kids.
Like, was there something in the water supply, or were they all just like, poor Donald? Because honestly, that makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't get it. But I'm also like, this is the 80s. So were they actually putting it in as a positive that he beats his kids?
Suppose, yeah. They're like, yeah, I have to discipline them.
Yeah. He's like, he keeps them kids in line. They're up to no shenanigans when Charles is around. It could be. It could be.
Yeah, maybe not all of them have brain damage. Maybe they just... think violence against children is a good way for parenting. Who knows?
Yep. Yeah. It was the 80s. There was a good few more spankings going around then than now when it's illegal mm-hmm. to tell your child no. But Lenny would later on use the fact that Charles beat his kids as a justification for his murder. And he's like,
but Charles, you also used to beat the shit out of Cricket to give her, what were they called? Controlled beatings. So,
yeah.
People in glass houses, that's all I'll say.
Please do throw stones so that the fucking glass shards get you in the jugular and I don't have to talk about you anymore. But alas, we move forward. So Operation Fish, because Leonard is such an efficient and well thought out and processing serial killer, Operation Fish failed 3 times. The first reason being that Fat Charles was too heavy to move. Sigh. As he wrote in his journal with the actual word sigh.
No, he didn't. No. Because I was going to actually stop you and say, did he actually write the word sigh?
Oh, yes, he did.
I'm so mortified for this man.
Not just this one time. Like, apparently there was multiple times that he would write sigh.
Like, are you a 14-year-old girl that's writing in your diary to be like, the neighbourhood boy didn't look at me as I was creepily staring at him today.
Sigh.
My parents don't understand me. I'm not made for this world. Sigh.
Literally.
Actually, just get a grip.
I can't cope with him. I don't know what the reference is that he was too heavy to move. I don't know, did he knock him out and try and fuck him in a lake or something? I don't actually know what he tried to do to kill Fat Charles the first time.
Yeah.
That he was too heavy to move. I assume he had to have been unconscious and he was trying to do something.
Push him off of something. Yeah. Push him off something.
Yeah. Or drive him out into the woods or something. I don't know. But I assume he had to have tried to knock him out and then drag him off somewhere, but he couldn't because the man weighs a fucking ton.
Mm-hmm.
So, second attempt, Leonard invited Charles over for some homemade snacks that he had poisoned. And of all days, this is the one day that Fat Charles decided he was not hungry. So he refused to eat.
I just know Leonard was raging. Like, when Charles went home, I guarantee he was like, that fat cunt stuffs his face every other day. And the one time.
Sigh. Attempt number three. Leonard tried to kill Fat Charles with poison gas, but I can only assume he did not count for the sheer mass of this man.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work. It did nothing to him. It wasn't even enough to knock him unconscious, never mind kill him. So all of Leonard's weak sauce plans did not work out up until this point. So he finally just said, fuck it, and shot him. Easy way out. And in order to make sure that nobody came looking for Fat Charles, because obviously, who would they go to? Only his best friend first. He went to his wife and told her, Charles has left you for another woman. He won't be coming back. So don't go looking for him.
All right, well, why are you telling me this? And not my fella.
Exactly. Like, did he leave?
And why did she just listen to him?
This must have happened to a lot of people back in the 80s because she did not question it. For 2 years, she just hated this man for leaving her. Never questioned it. Never went looking for him.
I don't know if it's like a naivety or what the fuck, but like, surely you'd still want more answers,
right?
Than the word of his aloof best friend.
Exactly. I'd be like, nah, give me the address. I want to go. I'm going talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, if this motherfucker thinks he can just leave me and all of our beaten children, no, that's not happening.
And like, as well, you think that he'd say it to more than just one person.
Yeah, but nobody questioned it. For 2 full years. Oh, and also, I do kind of feel bad for her though, because I imagined it. I'm like, you know, that she would just have been seething, just fucking hating him, cursing him every day of her life, only to find out 2 years later that the man had been shot in the head and never left her. Like,
yeah,
you gotta feel real fucking bad after that.
Bad for her, yeah.
Like, I've hated him for 2 years and he did nothing wrong.
So she has to, like, obviously, like that you said, she'll be feeling bad. She'll want to not repent for, like, all her fucking hatred for him, but then she has to grieve.
Yeah.
For him as well.
She has to grieve twice. She has to grieve a broken relationship, because that's a different kind of grief than actually finding out that your husband, ex-husband, I guess, at this point, she probably...
Yeah, but starting another painful process again.
Yeah. Now it's a death grievance and it's like... That poor fucking woman. Jesus. He did her so dirty. I'm like, ugh. He didn't just do this to Fat Charles and his wife. Like, he would find as many, like, not all the time, but as often as he could, he would find the right person to contact of the people that he killed and write them letters saying that, like, oh, I've gone to California for work. I won't be coming back for a while. Or, you know, I'm going down to stay with some friends in fucking Mississippi. I don't know. You know, whatever. Whatever he had to say to get people to not come looking for the person that he has buried on his fucking ranch.
Jesus Christ.
Which again, like, I couldn't help but think of fucking H.H. Holmes then as well.
Yeah.
Because he did the same fucking shit, but at least it made sense back when H.H. Holmes did it. I feel like, you know, would you not question, they never rang. Because we have house phones. They never rang once.
Yeah. There's phone booths.
Yeah.
all over the place.
They sent one letter, gave no forwarding address, like, surely.
That seems a bit suspect, like.
Yeah, but again, everyone was kind of drifting around back then, and it was a bit freer, I guess, so I don't think it was too uncommon for people to disappear and actually be okay, kind of turn up a year later or whatever. And yeah, as an adult, no one's going to go looking for you, because as an adult, yeah, you have the right to disappear.
Looking for the kids, never mind the adults.
Yeah, if you've done nothing illegal and you fuck off, nobody needs to come looking for you. Nobody's required to.
But right, for the letters, do people like I know my ma's handwriting, I know what your handwriting, I know what Cuiva's handwriting looks like. Can people not just look at them and be like, well, this doesn't look like his?
That's true, actually. I didn't even think of the handwriting.
Because everybody's is so uniquely their own.
Mm-hmm. Because even wasn't that a factor in H.H. Holmes. There was one that questioned, they were like, that's not my daughter's handwriting, I know it's not. Unless he typed them, which would be a bit fucking weird.
But then that's even more...
Yeah.
Suspect. Because you're taking away the personalisation from a letter to be like, alright, okay, well, this is definitely going to be from so-and-so, sure, this is her handwriting, blah, blah, blah. But when you type it, then you're going to be like... sure, this could have come from fucking anybody. And then you're going to start asking questions.
He might have made them write it.
Oh, yeah, true.
That could be...
true, actually,
could
yeah.
be a possibility. He might have, like, yeah. held them at gunpoint, write that letter, and then I'll let you go or whatever.
Send it. You know, that's very true.
Maybe.
Or the most likely, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that at all, actually. Did not think of the handwriting. I'd say it must be something like that, or people just did not fucking care.
Yeah.
There was something quite sus about Fat Charles's murder. And that is, when his body was eventually found, they discovered that he had been shot with not one gun, two guns. So, unless Leonard went fucking guns akimbo and just...
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. completely overboard, shot him with two guns from each hand, which I highly doubt. Charles was in prison still during this time. Charles, not Fat Charles. Fat Charles is dead. So, too many Charleses in the story as well. I have another one coming up, so bear with me. The only other person that he could have had as an accomplice or would have trusted as an accomplice, seemingly Cricket.
That bitch Cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Cricket, you up to some shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm with you. Jury's out. We can't prove it, but I do not think Cricket had no involvement in any of this.
No, she... No. Don't believe it for a second that she's as innocent as she claims.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely not. She just got away with the little old lady fucking card. It's like, oh, I'm just a woman. I'm just a soft woman. I could never do such things.
You're just a tramp, Cricket.
Yeah. You were definitely as bad as the pair of them. Stop now. Don't be lying to yourself or me.
Yeah.
But alas. So like I said, the timeline is a bit fucked up. But I believe the bunker up until this point wasn't built on the ranch. The ranch itself was obviously fine. But the bunker wasn't ready yet. And just before Charles got out of prison, Leonard had been using a local boy called Randy to help him with the construction of the rape bunker. And Leonard and Charles were keeping up, like, best friend fucking letters in prison with absolutely just no shame, no secrecy, no code, nothing. Leonard was like, yeah, the rape bunker's coming along fucking great. Here's some updates about it. Openly writing this to letters in prison, in letters to prison.
Well, they get checked.
Yeah.
Which is...
the letters that are supposed to be read. And he would also attach naked photos of Cricket or whatever woman Leonard had taken in the meantime to take pictures of. So whether these were murder victims or just women that he convinced to take pictures, because he did just do that as well. I don't know. I don't know. But he would send naked pictures of women to Charles in prison.
Okay, well, now I don't believe that the letters did get checked. Like, they pretended for, like, government officials. Like, ah, yeah, let's sure. We checked the post coming in and out. Like, everything's grand.
Yeah.
We'll make sure they're following guidelines.
You know what I mean?
Couldn't give less of a shit. I'm like, right, look, we actually have too much work to do. I'm sure the letters are grand.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be that ballsy and brazen to start scheming.
to someone who's crimes. In prison.
Yeah. Ready to go for when they get out.
Like, cool. But it might have something to do with the fact that Charles was just in on a theft charge. Like, he wasn't, you know, he was small fish. They didn't really care about him. So they might not have been really looking at his correspondence. They could have been looking at the more dangerous inmates.
What about if then, like, he was planning on, like, a heist or something like that when he gets out?
Oh, 100%. Like, so, it's not that he was just in on a small theft charge either. It's that, like...
it was 11,000 worth of military-grade weapons. Stolen.
Like... it's not that he just went into guns and ammo and took what they had. Like, no, literal military weapons. I don't know. I don't know. But it's not the only time that Charles slipped through the cracks, because after 18 months, Charles Ng was back out, and thanks to his fake birth certificate that absolutely nobody caught on to, he was not deported back to Hong Kong like he should have been. Because Charles Ng is not an American citizen. How he even enlisted in the army is beyond me.
Yeah, like, out of all things, like, you think you double check government documents, like, as a birth cert to be able to join in, like, your country servicemen, like, that does not make sense to me.
You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
They do more checks of you, like, fake IDs going into a nightclub than they did, like, a birth certificate.
Genuinely.
Like, God forbid anybody tries to drink under 21, but Mona will give you a gun there.
Yeah. And we'll release you back into society when you shouldn't be in this country at all. And you've just come out on a big fucking theft charge. But alas, they never caught it. They released him right back. And he ran straight back to the ranch with Leonard. Back to his bestie. And as soon as Charles came back, Leonard stopped writing in his journal for like at least 2 months. At least 2 months. So that to me implies...
What were they doing?
No, it implies that he was so lonely without fucking Charles Ng that he started writing a journal. And as soon... As soon as he got him back, I just have like this image, right? It's this fucking, of course, it's like an elegant leather-bound journal. Like it has to be something, you know, it can't just be like a notebook.
He doesn't even just journal, he crafts.
Exactly.
As well. Like he has his little stickers, he has his different colored pens.
Yeah. He's got the fancy fountain pens because nothing is better than that. You have to feel like you're making love to the page with each letter.
Yeah.
That sounds like him. And I imagine him just like presenting it to Charles when he gets out of prison. He's like, these have been my thoughts and feelings without you for the past year and a half. Gives it
to like any thought that he'd be like, don't we, obviously we can't see each other, so we'll text each other things.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing these all down in his journal because he can't talk to his bestie. But now it's like, well, I can just tell him everything now.
Exactly. Exactly. The bromance was strong between these two.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
If they weren't a pair of sickos, it would be cute.
It would, honestly.
It would be cute.
I said that, like, especially Charles Ng as well, I feel like he could have been a cracking fucking fella, great in comedy, if he wasn't a psychopath.
You know what I mean?
Because he was an absolute character. Absolute character. Like Pee Wee Gaskin. Just a fucking character that you kind of love, even though he's an absolute monster. Yeah, so that's my theory as to why he stopped writing in his journal is because he only wrote it for Charles because he was lonely without him. And once he was back, he was like, I don't need this anymore. I've got my bestie.
Oh my God, do you reckon he like gifted it to Charles? Like, while you were away, I made you something really special. So I hope you like it. And he literally put it in like a little box. Has like little like flower petals on the inside wrapped in a pretty ribbon.
It's got the fancy fucking paper inside. It's like perfumed.
Oh, yeah, the little tissue paper thing. Yep. Yeah.
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
Watching him all shyly as he opens the box.
So that's the tame stuff that has happened. And now that Charles is out, as you said, because again, our timelines kind of overlapped between the end of your episode and the bulk of mine, actually, at this point. I feel like I've only been talking for 20 minutes. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so the timelines overlap. And as you said, as soon as Charles got back out of prison, it was fucking go time. They were ready to go.
Yeah.
They needed to get into this shit. They wanted to do bits. Let's go.
Ready to crack on.
And it was time for murder. And this time it was time for Charles's murder. Now, this murder in particular, there is some speculation because no one can really figure out why the fuck else Charles would have killed this guy. But there's some speculation that Leonard sent him off to kill... Hang on. All right, I'll go into it first. Okay. So Albert Gioletti is the man that we're in talk about here. And the theory is that Leonard sent him off to kill Albert, not specifically because of Albert or anything. They just found a person to cut his teeth as a murderer, to prove his loyalty to, you know, gangbang
initiation type thing.
So that's why they assume that he was murdered. But there's also some sort of thing that's like, could have been a homophobic thing, could have been an identity thing, could have been the let's roll a gay, like the fucking the Moore's murders. It could have been anything, really. Yeah. It was just Albert Gioletti is unfortunately part of the less dead because he didn't matter because he was an openly gay man in the 80s. So he was an easy target. And he was a DJ host in San Francisco and he had put an ad into the underground newspaper. The underground newspaper called The Spectator. And he was offering, fair play to him, oral sex for straight men. And yeah.
So I have to admire.
I do. Go for
his outwardness, you know what I mean? He's like, look, I want what I want.
Exactly. You do you, boo. But unfortunately, the person that answered the ad was Charles Ng. And Ng walked into the house, bold as fucking day, shot him dead and fucking left. Done. Dusted.
Like there was no, oh my God.
Like.
Literally just no thought about him at all. Just again, walked in straight away.
I couldn't find if they like if they stole anything from him, if they took his money, took his license, something. Nothing. I couldn't find any rhyme or reason for this fucking murder. They just walked into his house, killed him and left.
Jesus.
So I think probably the best theory is that it was a thing of cutting his teeth. Like, prove you can kill him, we'll move on.
Yeah, and it was just out of handiness sake, well...
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, he was an openly gay man in the 80s. They assumed no one would give a fuck because of that. And they were absolutely right. Nobody investigated this man's
murder.
And the
fact that it's, well, like, because it was, like, put outwardly in somewhere, like, a newspaper. Do you know what I mean? They're like, well, this could have been anybody.
Yeah, that's it. They couldn't, like, they can't find out who actually answered the ad.
No.
So, I mean, they could have.
Because then imagine trying to track down, like, during that time, the amount of people that, like, I know it was, like, an underground newspaper or whatever. But if this was, like, a newspaper, like, you know, targeted towards people in the LGBTQ community, a lot of people as well won't be forthcoming with that information because of the stigma around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
So trying to narrow that down as well, sure, too much hard work for them, they wouldn't have given a shit, like.
Yeah, that's it. And at a time as well where police genuinely thought they would catch something if they touched a gay man.
Like, yeah.
The reason Dahmer got away with his shit for so fucking long. Yeah, poor fucking Albert. Again, Albert just wanted to suck some dick. Possibly
like
for money.
Like, why couldn't it have been a high school or, like, a graduate that would, like, did really well in high school or was a jock star?
Yeah.
Is married now with four kids.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean?
Could have just
away all
a
his closet of dreams by bullying the gay kids in school.
Exactly. But no, it had to be fucking Charles Ng. So, now that the murder was over with, or the first murder for Charles, they could get back to the M-Lady prep. Okay. So, they decided that Polaroids are weak sauce, man. They're for losers and amateurs, and we got to upgrade to video.
Video.
They weren't exactly going to go and pay for video equipment, not with sticky finger fucking Charles around. So Harvey Dubs, who was the owner of Video Dubs, he was renting equipment because they did, like, you know, they rented out for weddings or, I don't know, you don't record a funeral.
Yeah.
I can't think of other events. Bar mitzvahs.
I don't think a funeral.
I don't think
I've
anyone wants to remember that day.
Or, like, bar mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible that my first thought after a wedding is funeral.
It's a funeral. I'm not sure it's really an occasion people want to remember with fondness.
No. Well, I hope you remember my funeral with fondness because I plan on planning it beforehand and it's going to be spectacular. So
I already know the level of drama.
Oh, there has to be.
And I don't mean drama as in, like, actual drama. I mean flair.
Oh, 100%. Everyone's coming in colourful wigs and ridiculous clothing. And by ridiculous, I mean, like, amazing, but, like, not for a funeral. Like, you're going into fucking church in thigh-high boots? Yes. That's what's happening.
Yes. Am I having a feather boa? Also, yes.
100%. Why not? You want to go in full face paint, full character costume? Do it. That's what you do for my funeral. Flair. I want pizzazz. I'm going to be looking up at you like, yeah, they did all my requests.
I love how you said looking up and not looking down, because we know.
Oh, we know. If they exist, I'm not going up there.
No.
Not a chance. Not with the jokes I'm making. But yeah, so they went to Harvey Dubb's house while the family were having dinner, which is rude as fuck anyway, sorry. Like, I know they were going there to murder
them,
right?
Call at a decent time,
but, yeah,
not tea time.
What are you doing going to somebody's house during dinner time for any sort of reason?
It's the height of rudeness.
Rude. But alas, they did, and they went around, they looked at the equipment, you know, played the whole spiel and whatever, and then they promptly took the family at gunpoint. And they herded the whole lot of them, there were three of them, into the van and brought them out to the rape branch. And so Leonard told them in the van, like, you know, relax, we're not going to hurt you, we just want your money. But as soon as they got there, seemingly, now again, this is another case where we don't know the actual details of what fully happened, so we're just piecing it together as best we can. The way it seems to have gone is, while Leonard was telling them, you know, you're going to be fine, I'm not going to hurt you, this motherfucker had already dug their graves. Yeah, the graves were dug and waiting for them when they arrived back. Like,
that's actually so chilling.
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
It's like that level of premeditation just to get some video equipment.
It just doesn't...
Yeah. So, as soon as they got there, as we already said with Maurice and all of that, the man was in the way. Harvey was in the way. So Harvey was immediately strangled and killed and presumably fucked directly into the hole. Then his wife, Deborah, we assume was kept as an M-lady, or at least an attempt at an M-lady, for a while. But obviously she didn't work out because she was also found strangled. But I said this was a family.
Yeah.
They had an 18-month-old baby.
Oh, for God's sake, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, I don't know what happened to this baby. I don't.
I don't want to know.
I sincerely hope whatever happened was quick. And actually, I do believe, now, I think it was only one source, because again, mismatch of finding whatever the fuck I could about this. I think it was either this one or the next familial side that I won't be covering, because it's pretty much the last one.
Mm-hmm.
It was either this one or that one, but at Charles's request, the baby was killed quickly. Okay. So Charles at the least had the heart to say, like, okay, we have to kill the child, but can we at least do it humanely, sort of thing? Because otherwise I think Leonard probably would have dragged it out.
Yeah.
Or I do believe it was a baby. Oh my God. Wow. I just had a horrible thought.
Oh, please.
That if they didn't kill the child and he raised it to become an M-Lady.
Ew.
Yeah. No, that didn't happen. The baby was never found. But like, he could have. You know what I mean?
Groomed the child. Yeah. Oh my God.
Which, not that I'm supporting it, but obviously would have been a much fucking more effective way of making a slave. Is to do it from young, so they never know any different. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Oh, ew.
Yeah. I've traumatised myself. Goodness. Oh, I need to take another shower.
Yeah, that just made me feel dirty. That was sick.
Yep. But the other going theory is that once again, as a test of loyalty or a training exercise, Leonard made Charles kill the baby, as he said, in the same way that apparently Nazi SS officers were given puppies during their training, and on their graduation day they had to kill it.
Oh yeah.
That. So apparently that was like, oh yeah, you know, like the Nazis, you're gonna have to kill this baby. Like, fuck you, Leonard, you little fucking limp dick gimp.
Do you know, it wouldn't surprise me. So remember after like the whole, we're like, oh, the cyanide tooth is very Nazi-esque.
Exactly.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
There seems to be an awful lot of fucking, like, Leonard has a hard on for the Nazis, and that wouldn't surprise me in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Cause he's edgy. Little edgelord. I worship the Norse gods. Which, can I just say as well, that I'm offended that he ever declared himself a Buddhist. Because I know he was just doing it to be edgy, right? As much of a loser as I wasn't doing it to be edgy. I still to this day very much appreciate the Buddhist religion. I'm just not strong enough to follow it. I like drinking and smoking. But I love the Buddhist religion. It is the nicest religion in all of the world religions. So I'm very fucking pissed off that this cunt was a Buddhist. Were you fuck? Furthest thing from it.
Yeah,
annoys me. But yeah, the edginess is what makes me think like there definitely would have been sort of a, I don't know, like a Nazi regime sort of thing to him, where he wanted to make sure that Charles was going to be his Goebbels.
Yeah.
Or his Himmler.
Yeah.
You know? It makes sense. I believe it. I don't know why, it just rings of truth, because I believe that the SS officers definitely were given a dog that they had to kill. Because I'm like, if you raise this puppy from birth and then have to look it in the eyes as you shoot it in the face.
Shoot it in the face.
You're not going to have a problem killing the Jewish people and the gypsies and whoever else they took.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It all rings very true to me.
Yeah.
But again, there's no proof of any of that from the SS officers to Charles being the one to have killed the baby.
I know it's like our own, like our little theory, but
Seems likely, right?
Far wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem very likely. And then especially as well, if Charles was the one that requested that the baby be killed quickly, then Leonard was probably like, well, fucking do it yourself then.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would make sense. But yeah, so it was actually a prison cellmate of Charles that testified that this is what Charles had told him had happened, that it was a training exercise and he had to kill the baby. And apparently he went into extensive detail about what went on in that bunker. Unfortunately, those details are not released to us, so we don't know what happened to them. But he went into extensive detail about what happened that night with that family to this cellmate of his. And the same cellmate also testified that Charles had told him that he tried out the asshole death grip on Deborah. So the asshole death grip, according to Charles, is when you tie a woman's tights around her neck and strangle her with them and twist them as you fuck her in the ass. The asshole death grip.
Why is it Leonard that came up with that name?
It could have been, but I feel like it actually was Charles.
Oh, I was going to say, like, Charles being like, what do I call this?
Do you know why I'm like...
This is my ultimate move. What do I call this?
Exactly.
And, like, just sitting over the ultimate corner move. On his armchair, clicks, and it's just like, this is the name. And then they high five.
Because as we said earlier, when I made a slightly racist joke, Charles was literally the most stereotypical Asian you will ever meet. He was dead into, like, kung fu, and he liked playing with nunchucks. His favorite thing to do was fucking roundhouse kick pencils out of people's hands.
Wanted to be Bruce Lee. So
he wanted to be Bruce Lee without end. So I'm like, asshole death grip. It makes sense to me. He's like, yes, this is my ultimate fucking finisher move. I feel like it was Charles. You're of the opinion it was Leonard. Fuck knows. Or he just made it up on the spot for this fucking cellmate. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that does seem indicative that, you know, poor old Deborah did end up being one of the many rape victims before she was murdered, and a possible try-in them lady. So that's about all I have for her, for that family, unfortunately. Like I said, there is a lot of detail that was released. They're very sure they did kill them. We just don't know exactly what happened, what order, who killed who, so on and so forth. And when. As in, when did Deborah die in relation to Harvey and the baby?
Yeah.
So that was a fun little familiar side there. And I'm very glad I'm not doing the other one.
Sorry, Cueva.
Yeah, sorry, Cueva. They decided they were in need of a new vehicle because they needed the perfect M-Lady car. And a man called Paul Cosner had put an ad in the actual newspaper, not the underground newspaper, advertising his 1980 Honda Prelude. And Leonard saw this and thought, that is the shaggin' wagon that I need to transport my stable of M-Ladies. That is my shaggin' wagon. God. And now, I feel like I actually had to go look up the 1980 Honda Prelude. I feel like it would be a cool car to own now. I feel like it probably wasn't a nice car in the 80s.
Right. I want to look it up now so I can decide if it's ugly or not.
Because, like, I hate the headlights. But other than that, it's actually kind of like, you know, it's like a nice enough vintage car.
1980s Honda Prelude. Is that what you've called it?
That's the one.
Oh, that's a sex offender vehicle I've ever seen one.
Right. It is 100% a shaggin' wagon, but, like, not the good kind.
Sorry, can you not see, like, Ted Bundy driving that car?
Oh, 100%.
Like, I know he was, like, this was before, but still.
No, 100%.
Or do you know? Oh, my God, no. Do you remember that film that I made you watch, Summer of 84? Do you remember that film?
The Creepy Traumatized Cop. Me. He definitely that had movie. That car. Summer of 84 is a fucking great movie. He definitely did have that car.
Fantastic movie.
Great movie. Recommend to anyone, but just, it will fuck your whole life up at the end. Just letting people know.
Yeah, because you think it's over and then that.
Mm-hmm. It's very much not. And they take a, we'll say a cinematic risk that most people won't go near. And they did that. And I'm still hurt about it to this day.
I think I've watched it like 5 times, and each time I'm like,
good. They won't do it this time. It's the same movie, but they won't do it this time.
I can't watch Your Man in anything now because it boils my piss.
That's fair.
To see him in anything.
That's fair. Because is it in real life? I hope I'm getting his name right, because I always mix two people up. Is it Stanley Tucci that was in The Lovely Bones?
Yeah.
And I adore him in most other things, but since The Lovely Bones, I can't look at him properly.
No.
And I fucking love Stanley Tucci. He's a great actor. He usually plays such a fucking adorable man in other movies, but no.
And he's so happy.
So happy.
No, I
hate. Yeah, The Lovely Bones. Not okay. But anyway. I'm sorry I derailed us with the Honda Prelude there, but yeah.
Well, not really, because I also did have a rape jack, so.
I mean, true.
Are you wrong?
They are actually all connected. Summer of 84 has chronic murder, and The Lovely Bones is pedo rapist. So fun.
So
much fun. Ooh, and actually an even weirder connection. You know the way he gets rid of her in the fridge? Sorry for anyone who hasn't seen the Lovely Bones, but like it literally starts off with murder, so you're not, it's no spoiler. Yeah. Wasn't it a fridge? Or like a big heavy chest? I think it was a fridge though.
I think it was a fridge, yeah. And then he like
into the fucking,
tossed her down like
the
a
landfill.
Garbage dump thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, before any of these murders that I've just gone through, or even your one at the start, apparently somebody helped Leonard get rid of a heavy fridge that had been bolted together in the landfill. Yeah, I didn't mention it because it's like, it's nothing, you know? But now that we've made that little fucking weird connection to the Lovely Bones,
ooh, I've just got you.
I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable. Wow. Okay. Yeah, so they go to Paul Cosner. They're checking out the car. The two of them go and they're doing a test drive with him. So presumably Paul is sat in the passenger seat, but we don't know who was in the driver's seat and who was in the back of the car. But one of them was. And as they're going along their test drive, they just pop Paul in the back of the head from the back seat of the car. Done, dusted. Oh, they don't need to pay for the Honda now. It's theirs.
It's practically free at this point.
Yeah. Just a bit of time and effort. Bit of a clean up job from the blood and brain splattered all over your fucking car now.
As if them stains are coming out and he's expecting to pull bitches in that.
Honestly. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think the Honda Prelude had the fancy, like, vinyl, leathery kind of interior.
Oh no, that was the shit cloth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, it was that weird felty shit.
Everything.
Like we have in the fucking Seat as the roof thing. And I accidentally bonked it with mascara one day and the same day my fucking tube of eyelash glue exploded. And it was the duo glue, the black one.
That's never coming out.
It's still there. It'll never be gone. It'll never go. There's no hope of getting rid of it. I've tried everything. White spirits, makeup remover, nail varnish remover, everything. I cannot get it out. Shout out to me if anyone knows how the fuck to get eyelash glue out of a car. Please and thank you. Yeah, so definitely that kind of fabric. Like I said, if I can't get mascara or eyelash glue out of it, you're not getting matter out of it. No. Fucking brain matter and blood and... not happening. And you know those lazy fat fucks didn't even clean it straight away either. They probably left it stew for a couple of days.
They're like, I'll do it now.
Yeah.
Do it later on. And it's like a week later.
Yeah.
The car is starting to stink.
Yeah. So they get their car and... Sorry. This part's quite fun, actually. Just to give us a wee break from the murder. During this time... Actually, not to give us a break from the murder, because it leads to two murders. But still, Charles and Leonard decide that they need jobs. Because obviously, you know, we don't think about this too much. But all of the serial killers had to work. Serial killing can't be your full-time job. You still have to pay for shit. So, eventually, if you're not robbing everything. So, they decide to go and try and get a job at this moving company. And both of them apply for it. And Charles Ng went under the very, very clever pseudonym of Charles Ng. And Leonard, being even more of a clever bastard, he was like, Leonard Lake who? No, no, bitch. I'm Leonard Blake.
I hate them so much.
I truly wish that the listeners could see the look of pure exasperation on your face right now. You're just like, done. Done with these two.
I actually hate them.
Leonard Blake. No one's going to be like, oh, maybe Leonard Blake is Leonard Lake, you know? No. No. No one's going to think that.
Yeah, it was just a typo.
Yeah. So clever. But alas, his alias was worthless to him anyway, because as we have previously mentioned, Leonard Lake was a quite overweight, balding little fat man and not exactly prime material for a moving company, which is an extremely physical job.
Yeah, he's in his head, he's thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to look strong.
Yeah.
No.
No.
They're going to, like, which some people might, you're going to be looked at as lazy. Unfortunately, you need to be quick moving.
Mm-hmm. And when you
muscle is not fat.
No.
Or fat is not muscle.
No, it goes both ways. When you're that big, you just can't move that quickly. You're held down by your own mass. It's just the way it is.
Like, you might be strong as an ox, but they don't need that because you have equipment to help you.
Yeah.
So, cardio, man, and that's what they're looking at.
That's it.
Just saying.
Charles did get the job because apparently he was weirdly muscular.
By weirdly, did they just mean he was odd-shaped?
I think so.
But in shape?
I think it's like, because obviously, like, if you look at his prison pictures and stuff, he's chubby. But
yeah,
kind of before that, he wasn't. He was quite slender. So I think the fact that he was slim. But like, you know those people, like, they're real skinny and you're like, there's no muscle mass on your whole body. And then you look and they're ripped as fuck, but it doesn't look like it. I think he was probably one of those.
I'd say so.
And he was weirdly muscular. Like, scrawny, but still you can still come to the gun show.
Yeah. Was a little bit hinge.
As was the way with Charles Ng. Some people actually kind of found him highly entertaining. And he would make friends and stuff as well. And he did have one co-worker that he bonded with so much. They got along so well. And they would practice spin kicks together.
Oh my god. This is giving me fucking Charlie and Mac vibes.
Oh my god, yes.
It's Always Sunny.
Oh my god, yes. Like that level of fuckery.
Just standing there for like 5 hours trying to do spin kicks.
100%. Like, boss is like, can you move this wardrobe? Like, no, spin kicks. We got a spin kick.
Yeah. After we nail this move, yeah, then we will.
1 second, boss. Yeah.
Just practicing kicking people's parcels.
Oh, and that later became Fastway. Or I don't know the other country's equivalents to Fastway, but yeah. Shout out to Fastway
UPS.
For...
UPS.
Yeah.
They're shit as well.
UPS, oh, 100%. And then here it's Hermes. Hermes are... Like, I'm surprised they don't dropkick my packages from the depot to my house. Like, anyway. That's what they were doing. They were practicing being Fastway workers. And so the man that hired Charles and took the chance on this weird little, weirdly muscular Asian man was Charles... Told you there was another one coming. Charles Parenteau. So he had no time for Charles at all in the end. Like at the start, he was the same as the rest of them. He was like, oh, Charles. Because he was a fucking weirdo, but nobody really took notice of it. So he had the habit of while he was moving furniture in and out of people's houses, going around saying, no kill, no thrill. No gun, no fun. And the weirdest one, daddy dies, mommy cries, baby fries.
I honestly... have no words.
Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine like, this weird little man from Hong Kong strolling into your house going, no kill, no thrill, no gun, no fun. Where do you want the couch?
That was definitely their gimpy little fucking mantra that they'd like hike each other up with before they took them on.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And
as if it was like a sporting chant or some shit like that.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Like affirmations for the day.
Yeah. I feel like we just need to start taking people at their word. So if they're saying mad shit like this, it's like, we just won't put it down to their eccentric personalities or yes, that they're a bit quirky or a bit strange. I'm taking that as a declaration and confession.
Just like a small bit of surveillance. Just a small bit. Just see what they're up to in their downtime. Just keep an eye on them. And if they are just generally a weirdo, cool beans, but you know, they could be a potential fucking mass serial killer. So we should maybe have a look at that.
Yeah. I mean, if they're calling it a spade, it's probably a fucking spade. Yeah. What I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And I do have some concerns about the daddy dies, mommy cries, baby fries thing. For two reasons. One, we've just had a familicide before he gets the job at this moving company, yeah, and we don't know what happened to the baby. Two, Charles was self-racist and would draw, like, we all know the caricatures of an Asian man.
Yeah, with the...
He would draw those of himself.
Yeah.
Cooking babies, and we don't know. We just don't know. We don't know if these were just like ha ha ha, look at this, or he was actually drawing shit that really happened, because he would also like draw pretty detailed pictures of the rapes and stuff that they carried out in the bunker.
Yeah, and the scenes. Yeah,
yeah.
But as well as that, then for him to request that child was like killed quickly doesn't make sense if
he cooked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unless he was like, that was lies.
Well, I mean, it's not a lobster. You don't buy that
lies. Or the fries is like an exaggeration, like, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. But we'll try not to think about Kentucky Fried Babies right now. Mm. We'll just pretend that never happened. We've never worried about the correlation and we'll move on.
I feel like you missed out so much on an opportunity to say Kentucky Fried Children instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I did.
You've ruined it now.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week. We've been successful. I'm quit. I'm done.
Get that fire exit door. She's off.
Yeah, that was the kind of bants that Charles had, Charles had at work. And so this obviously pissed off Charles Parenteau, his boss, because he was a fucking lunatic and they would always kind of go back and forth about the workload, about Charles not doing enough or blah, blah, blah. And one day, Charles Parenteau yelled at him, "You goddamn Chinaman, I never should have gotten you this job." And that was not the kind of foot that, like, the fun kind of racism that Charles Ng enjoyed. Because his co-workers would do, like, also little racist Asian caricatures of him with, like, no kill, no thrill or no gun, no fun written over it. But he liked those. He thought they were funny. But being called a goddamn Chinaman wasn't cute.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not saying it's Charles Parenteau's own fault that he got murdered, but at the same time, maybe don't be yelling racist slurs at your employees.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Yeah, so there was a bunch of instances of this where he'd call him a damn Chinaman or, you know, other horrible things.
Yeah, so, I'm sure there's a slew of horrendous fucking slurs that he called this man.
Because like I said, like, again, I'm not fucking defending Charles Ng at all, but since he was self-racist and, like, enjoyed the other stuff from the co-workers, because he was like, bants, 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 You know, it must have been bad for him to get actually pissed off about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. After all that, Charles Parenteau promptly disappeared. Do we know what happened to him? No, of course not. Afterwards, when they were caught and Charles and Leonard were, you know, blaming each other for everything, like one me was him, Charles mm-hmm. said that Leonard shot him in the head, burned his body and spread his bones across the rape ranch branch. I feel like probably not true on account of the fact that Leonard had no personal grievance or any need for this man.
No.
So most likely Charles shot him in the head, burned his body and spread his ashes around the fucking yard.
Unless it was a case of a thing of like, you've said what to my best friend?
It could have been that. Ooh, very true. Because the bromance was strong. It was strong.
It was very strong.
Right. Very true. And now the last murder that I'm going to talk about. Jeff Gerald.
Sorry, Jeff, but that is a horrendous name.
I needed the long pause beforehand because I was like, I'm going for a two first name or it's like, we hate those.
I hate them. So much.
But I will, Jeff Gerald. He pissed Charles Ng right the fuck off because he took a personal week off from work to sort some shit out. Don't know what it was, but he took a personal week off from work. And when he came back, somehow this man still had his job title and he was operating at the exact same level of seniority that he had been before he took the week off. And Charles thought,
yeah,
fuck this shit. You can't just go away for a week, deal with personal business, not do your work, and then come back and still have a higher position than me.
Charles, I feel like you need to take a hard look at yourself in the mirror. You're on about people's hard honest, or to like hard work in nature, their honesty.
Mm-hmm.
All this kind of crack. You stole numerous times.
Oh yeah. Full kleptomania.
Because you didn't have any worth ethic as well, just to be able to afford the things that you wanted.
For your rape dungeon.
You know.
Not seeing the high horse available here. Nonetheless, Jeff Gerald promptly disappeared as well.
But I feel like there's other channels he could have gone down. He could have went to the boss.
Yeah.
Because like, what makes you think now that he's gone that you're going to get his position?
Well, apparently that's exactly what he thought. And again, from speculation, we think that Leonard encouraged it. That he said everything should be like Vietnam. As in to mean that Charles should just go and kill whoever he needs to kill or do whatever he needs to do to climb the ranks and work to get where he wants to be. So, supposedly
I feel
then.
Like I won't be listening. I know they were besties, right? Mm. And you should always listen to your best friend. But there always has to be a point where you're like, you were medically discharged because of a schizoid personality disorder that you displayed heavily
mm-hmm.
while in Vietnam. So I should probably just not going to listen to you.
Yeah, because if everything was like Vietnam, then you'd still be in the psych ward, you little fuckwit.
Yeah.
So that's the consensus, is that he encouraged him to go and murder either just Jeff Gerald or also Charles Parenteau.
Right.
But I don't think Charles Ng would have had any fucking issue doing that shit in his own.
Nah.
Unprompted. So I don't know. It is, yeah. We'll get into it more now next week because we're done with this week's episode. And the bulk of the murders, but next week Weeva has to cover pretty much the worst one, so I'm very sorry, but otherwise we wouldn't have a full episode if I didn't leave that for next week. We'll get into that, but yeah, we'll see. At the end, there's an awful lot of pointing fingers between the three of them. Like, it's like the three Spider-Men pointing at each other.
I was literally just going to say the same.
That'll definitely be like the Insta picture for next week.
Like, oh my god, I'm going to Photoshop their heads on.
Yes.
To their bodies before I put it up.
Yes, please do. Because it is. It's like Cricket, Charles and Leonard. I think Leonard and Charles even had an agreement that they would turn and like they'd flip on each other when it all ended, which is a bit dumb. But yeah, they all pointed the fingers at each other. No, it wasn't me. I was there, but I didn't get involved. So unfortunately, like I said, the whole fucking lot of research is a bit of a mess. The timeline is absolutely skewed as to when mm-hmm. things happened. Like, I don't have proper dates or anything. It just all kind of happened around 1983, 84. Yeah. So that's why. Because none of them fucking told the truth ever. Not once. And there wasn't enough evidence to get the truth ourselves.
No.
If you learned anything from this, Liz, just don't go around fucking high-kicking pencils out of your co-workers' hands all day. You might be all right.
I actually think that's really good advice.
Probably the best advice I've ever given on this podcast, to be honest.
Do you know what? I was just about to say the same.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very insightful.
I feel appreciated.
I'm glad.
Feel like we don't have anything to announce or mention this week.
Oh, only that there is this page on Twitter that is uber fucking funny. Like, it's a verified page and everything, and it's just dedicated to things that Liza Minnelli has outlived.
Oh my gosh.
And it is so funny. So, like, nearly daily there's updates on this thing, right? And did you call Liza Minnelli outlives, right? So one of the posts is, Liza Minnelli has outlived Paris Hilton being single. She married Carter Raim at her late grandfather's Bel Air estate. Just like shit like that. Or, Liza Minnelli has outlived waiting for Wicked. Like, stupid, stupid things. Like, and it's nearly every day.
That is amazing.
Or every week. Or the fact that Liza Minnelli has outlived Britney's conservatorship. Just little things that aren't true.
But weird in that context.
Yeah, like the tagline is, the legendary Liza Minnelli will outlive us all. That's it.
I feel like there's definitely a rival Twitter page for Betty White.
Well, there definitely is. But I feel like also cult following.
Oh, definitely.
Like our Lord and Saviour, Liza Minnelli.
100%. 100%.
I'm going to follow it because I just want to see what else she outlives that I never would have thought about before, you know?
Us.
Oh, she will.
Definitely me. Betty White. Like, definitely me.
Speaking possibly both. About her. Definitely fucking Betty White. Well, she's as old as sliced pan and she's still kicking.
Liza like, Minnelli or Betty White? I mean, both. No, Betty but White. Like, yeah.
Both, but Betty White.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing a Tumblr post that was like, we really need to start thinking about the world we're leaving behind for Betty White. And I was like, Betty White is so old, she played an old lady on TV before you were even born. And I'm like, yes.
It's so true.
It's amazing. She's a hell of a woman. I hope she lives forever.
True, Jen. He's definitely living that well as well, out of spite.
She's 100%.
I'm that old, do you think I'm fucking going anywhere? I think the fuck no.
Like, watch me live to 200 watch and me. Still be springing.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love Betty White. Liza Minnelli and Betty White, we love you. Neither of you will ever hear this, but love you.
Love you.
Imagine, the biggest plot twist on all this earth is that Betty White listens to our podcast. I think
she
I can safely
She just has
like
a Stan account on Twitter or Instagram or some shit like that.
Amazing, that would be so cool. Fucking bullshit, like, but still. Just a wild dream.
Yeah, like, you're not being delusional to think that they actually have like a secret stand to it or like some shit.
Or that like of all the podcasts that any of them could listen to, they listen to ours.
No,
I don't think so. Nay. It's about time to wrap things up for this week because I have to go to work soon. Yeah, so Quiva, hopefully, since she wasn't able to join this week, we'll hope for the best that she can do the final episode next week. If not, one of us will take it. Either way, there will be a final episode coming next week, wrapping up the final murders, how these little bitches got caught, and how they met their ultimate ends. So very much look forward to that, because the end when they finally get what's coming to them. Well, no, in this case, spoiler alert, they kind of don't. Yeah.
And I know why. I know why as well.
Yeah. It's so annoying. Yeah. I'm pretty annoyed for this time next week. But yeah. Look, this is always the case. We're never satisfied. We don't get the justice we deserve for these little fucking bastards. Here we are. Either way, it's the most fun part because it's the least amount of murder. So I look forward to next week. So we'll be back for that. And up until then, I wish you all some positive vibes and negative tests. And always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles.
Join us.